Good morning, everyone. Welcome to all of you. Welcome to our online guests. So awesome to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you did sleep last night? I don't know. It's like I've got up this morning thinking there's a next new wonder in this world, and it's called the Springboks. So, but we are very proud of them. And wasn't it awesome to watch them pray before they went out? Just getting together as a team and praying and trusting God. Won't you please stand with us? We are going to, if you were shouting from your rooftops last night, we're going to do that this morning in church. So we're going to sing a song that to some of you might sound like a brand new song. It's actually quite an old song called Rooftops. And yes, let's just bring our passion and bring our worship and our praise to God this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy. Thank you that we can come before you excited with our hearts full of praise and worship and honor. We just want to worship you this morning, our King, the name above all names. We want to bear witness, Lord, of your faithfulness, of your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your throne room is open and that we can freely enter. Thank you. We worship you. Amen.
The everlasting God. So I shout. We will bear
will declare that you are the healer.
Praise, you're the name above all names. Be it- as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all.
Beautiful, how worthy is your name, Lord, that there is no one like you, Lord, that we can never give you enough praise, Lord, that you are worthy of all our adoration, you are worthy of all our praise, and yeah, Lord, we just thank you that we get to echo heaven. Holy, holy, holy are you. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. 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 Thank you, worship and production team. Thank you for serving us week in and week out. And so I have the great honor to do the offering message with you this morning. And what I like to say is God does not need your money. And you might be thinking, but then why are you sharing on offering? God does not need your money. What he desires is your heart. God is in pursuit of your heart. And so where does finances come in? Where your heart lies, there your treasure will be. And Jesus said it himself. And so more than God is after your money, he desires your heart, because where your treasure lies, there your heart will be also. And so in Luke 21, verse 1 to 4, it says, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all of these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. And what's so beautiful about this passage is that Jesus wasn't moved by the wealthy's contribution. And Jesus has nothing against the wealthy. In fact, he wants us to be wealthy. But what he was moved by was the poor widow's heart. And so Jesus is not moved by how much you put in the offering box, but he's moved by the heart in which you give it. God is moved by your heart. And the amazing thing is our giving can be a display of worship when it's done with the right heart posture. And so I want to ask you the question, when you give, does it move your heart? In moving your heart, it moves God's heart. It becomes worship. And so we've got offering boxes at the back if you'd like to give cash, and there's a number of other ways you can find in the bulletin if you'd like to give. But I want to encourage you, let's be a church that God says that they are ones that give more than them all. Not for how much they give, but from where they give their hearts. And so let's worship God through our giving. And then Mama D's got a powerful word for you. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Isn't it wonderful to be together? Amen. I am just going to say this. I'm very grateful I could wear my green dress today and didn't have to come in all black. So yes, I'm very grateful for that. So I get to continue with our series of Let Peace Rule, and it's been such a special season and a series for me. And I think what I'm going to share on today, if it was just for me, it was worth it. But I've never been more challenged in a week with the message that I've had to preach. I know as a life group, peace is one of our favorite topics, that with the heart. We talk about it a lot. We read scriptures about it. But we are going to discuss what perfect peace looks like. And I want to encourage you, next week we've got Rich and Michelle Franzen, who have all these baby homes in Joburg. They are very dear friends. They will be here to minister with us, and they're bringing our little Tando, who is the reason we called Tando Tando House. So please don't miss next week. If you're coming to the first service, you can come back at 11:30, or you're just going to hang out. We're going to go over the road and open that up. So that will be very special. But our theme scripture is Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So today, like I said, we are going to be talking not just about peace, but what does perfect peace look like? How do we get perfect peace? And I know if you're like me and you ask these questions and you think to yourself, how do I get perfect peace? Immediately, that question comes up. I know it does for me. I'm sure it's quite an obvious question that just rises when we think of perfect peace. And that is, are you a dove or are you a goat? Does that not come up in your heart? Oh, is it only me? So are you telling me that's not a trigger when I say perfect peace? You don't immediately think, am I a dove or am I a goat? Okay, well, I thought everyone thought like me, but obviously you don't. But don't worry, it will be one of those questions that you will now think for the rest of your life. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Here we see the scripture talking about perfect peace, not just normal peace, not just a feeling good, not just a perfect peace. In Hebrews 12, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 1 to 3, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates our and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." In both these scriptures, we have a common theme. So the first point I want to make, in order to obtain this perfect peace, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews said. That is our first step in obtaining this perfect peace. In Song of Solomon 4, verse 1, it says, "You are beautiful, my darling, beautiful beyond words. You are like doves. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil." Your eyes are like doves. This morning, I want to ask you again, are you a dove or are you a goat? We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And this is just so amazing. You come to church to hear about Jesus and look at this. It's a National Geographic 101. Because I want to tell you some amazing specific traits of dove's eyes. And maybe they're new to you. Maybe you all know this. I haven't really got into the channel. And I know Dr. Leon's here, who probably and knows everything. But let me just explain to you what it means to have dove's eyes. Firstly, there's a fierceness. Most birds' eyes are everything but soft and gentle. But a dove's eyes have piercing eyes that show alertness and power. Health. Dove's eyes, if you are a vet or a handler of birds, you will be able to immediately, like no pressure, immediately tell the health of this bird by its eyes. Amazing. Character. Those who handle birds on a regular basis are able or aware of their unique personalities, whether they are weak or strong, faithful, unfaithful, just by its eyes. Did you know that doves are able to see hidden things? That just like a few other birds, they can see stars in the daylight. And this helps them with their navigation. This is just amazing. Sharpness. Doves have an acute sense of sight and are able to focus in on very fine details at great distances. That's why they can pick at the tiniest, like a sesame seed, they can focus and pick it up with their beak. I just had to throw this in. It says, doves mate for life. How beautiful is that? Song of Songs 4 verse 9 says, "You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes." Do you know our bridegroom looks at us and falls in love with us? How much more do we need to look into his eyes and fall in love with him? He wants us to be his one true love. Doves have such an impeccable eyesight, but this is where they are so special. They have the singleness of vision. They can only focus on one thing at a time. They cannot look left or right. They can only focus on one thing at a time. That's why they have to move their whole neck to turn around and look at the left and the right. They're not like donkeys and mules that get completely distracted by what's going on, and that's why they have to wear little blinders. A dove will only focus on one thing at a time. And that's why they are so unique. When the bridegroom says to his bride, "You have dove's eyes," you are looking at him with singleness of heart. And with that love and that focus comes our own response to him, and that is to trust him, to walk in obedience, to understand that he's so close to us that we get to walk in his ways, we get to follow in his footsteps, that we love him enough to be obedient, to allow his spirit to become so sensitive to that still, small voice. He says, "I will lead you in protection, safety." He will help us. He will be our shelter as we trust in him and allow him to guide our steps. He challenges us to stay close enough that we are so focused on him that when he says, "Turn right, turn left," we will follow him and find the favor and the spiritual grace that we need for every circumstance. I love Psalm 32, verse 8. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Now, if anyone knows the definition of this, it's my four children. There is a nonverbal mother's eye that guides. Sometimes good, I'm not going to lie. Most of the time, it's an eyeball that we call it the Mama D hairy eyeball, where I can look across and they will know I am guiding them very gently in a firm, strong, do it or die way that mothers do. I think some of my band members have even had the privilege of having a hairy Mama D eyeball face as we go into crazy things. There's this nonverbal eye movement, as parents will know, as husbands and wives will know. Sometimes it's that gentle, loving look. But God leads us with his eyes. But if we're not focused on him, if we don't have our eyes fixed on him, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. And so our challenge this morning is to get perfect peace by watching him, by looking at him, no matter what is going on. I want to tell you, this world is trying to distract us. The media is trying to distract us. Circumstances are trying to distract us. I've been so aware this week of what is going on in the world. There are wars. It doesn't matter what side you're on. I want to tell you that every life that is lost has a mom and dad attached to it. Or is a son or a daughter that is no longer living. I'm aware of parents losing children. I was phoned at 1:30 last night with a very tragic family situation, and I've prayed all night, and I had to put this into practice. When these oceans rise and the storms of life are going to hit us, we need to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. And it's only in fixing our eyes on them and then responding in this trust. You know, we have a response. We need to know his character. We need to know his nature to say, no matter what's going on, I'm going to trust you. You know, Jesus, when the disciples were going through a storm and they were alone in the boat, he was on the water with them. He was walking in the storm. And the Bible actually says he was going to walk past them. Can you imagine Jesus? I can just imagine him having a good giggle, like, I wonder if they'll notice me in the storm. But the reason was he wanted them to say, Jesus, it's you. I trust you. Come. We have a response in all these circumstances to say, Jesus, I'm choosing to fix my eyes on you. Come and get in the boat with me. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. But perfect peace is when your mind is stayed on him and you trust him. The second, this last perfect peace in terms of just fixing our eyes on him. When we understand his character, it's so much easier to fix our eyes on him. It's so easy. And that's our heart as a church, is to teach you the nature of God, that he loves us, that he wants the best for us, no matter what storms are going around. I loved our new song today. We've witnessed it, that he is good. He's constant. He's faithful. He's the healer. He died that death so that we can fix our eyes on him. So this morning, I'm going to show you, as you all want to see, our cute little dove pecking at his seed. Check his eyes out and watch how he focuses on every little seed that he picks. Is that close enough? Have you seen his eyes? He is very cute, our little morning dove. Again, perfect peace. What's the question? Are you a dove or are you a goat? Is it starting to come up in your heart? I know you were thinking it. Are you a dove? Or are you a goat? I'm going to read Hebrews 12, verse 1 in the Amplified. It's so beautifully written. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize, so that's me, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison to your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. So the first one to perfect peace was fix your eyes on Jesus. The second key to experiencing perfect peace is to get the weights off. He says, throw off these weights. And Mads Dazel had a wonderful talk, and she actually shared it with the Mental Health Summit that has just happened. And I'm not going to go into detail, but she actually gave three examples of different weights we carry. The first one is the performance weight. this weight that I've got to be perfect, that I've got to be performing in order for me to feel loved and accepted. That if I'm not perfect, I'm never going to be good enough. This is a lie from the pit of hell, and it is self-righteousness. Today I want to challenge you. You have been made perfect in Jesus. You are righteous because of a gift he paid for. And when you understand that and you meditate on that, you can throw this weight off. That you are accepted because of who you are in Christ. Throw off this weight to perform, to feel loved. The second weight is this guilt weight. The enemy hounds us with our past, with our old nature, what we haven't done, what we did do. And there's this guilt that is this weight that we carry. We cannot have perfect peace if we are carrying these weights. We wonder why the world is striving for peace. They're looking for it everywhere, in alcohol, in drugs, in meditation, in relationships. Maybe some of you here have tried it. You can't get perfect peace unless you are throwing these weights off. The last weight is the shame weight. This is so heavy. And if we look at Hebrews again in verse 3, even Jesus had to make a choice to throw it off. It says here, he, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. Jesus had to make a choice to despise. That means to hate it with everything within you and ignore it. Don't think after today, once you throw that weight off, you're never going to see it again. Before you even hit your car, that enemy is coming to say, what about this weight? You forgot about that past, and you forgot about what you did in 19-foot sack. We have to let go of this weight. We have to. We have to. It's going to weigh you down, and it's going to cause you to say, I can't have peace. I can't be perfect. We need to despise it. We need to hate it. Throw off these weights. And the third and final thing to obtain perfect peace is to strip off sin. Strip it off. So often as a Grace church, we get told we don't focus on sin enough. Today's the day. Strip it off. Get rid of it. Sin is missing the mark. If you're missing the mark in any area of your life, strip it off. In the Amplified, when it talked about sin, it spoke about deftly, cleverly, clings, entangles. That's what sin will do. It will entangle you. It's so clever. It makes you feel, ugh. In the message, it calls it parasitic. It sucks the life out of you. That's what sin will do. And so if you are in sin this morning, if you're battling with sin, make a choice. I'm going to strip it off. I'm going to take it off. I'm not going to focus on it. I'm going to focus and keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. The Bible is so clear. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you choose not to let go of the sin, if you choose to hold on to it, there is a price. Because all sin, missing the mark, is the sin that says, I'm not going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to allow Jesus to be Lord of my life. And it's such a slippery slope. But when we choose to make Jesus Lord of our life, we are stripping every sin that would weigh us down. And saying, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. We have to have dove's eyes. You see, the opposite of peace is found in the last verse that I read in Hebrews 12, verse 3. So that you may not grow weary or exhausted. Isn't this the opposite of peace? Weary, exhausted, losing heart, relaxing. Oh, well, that sounds like peace. No, relaxing means you've put your armor down. That means you don't know what the enemy's doing. You're not standing in your faith. You're not standing your ground saying, no, devil, you're not coming near my family. No, devil, you're not taking my joy. No, devil, I'm not going to focus on the storm. That's relaxing. The Bible says we must stand, and when we finish standing, we stand. We're not going to lose our peace by relaxing. The world thinks relaxing is clearing your mind and being mindful. No, we stand our ground because we have perfect peace. And then it says, not only will you relax, but you will faint in your mind. Perfect peace means to fix your eyes in your mind on Jesus. But no peace means we faint in our mind. And that again leads me to my question. Are you a dove or are you a goat? I want to introduce you to two of my favorite things to watch, and that is Boo and Lawson. Boo and Lawson are special fainting goats. They get so scared they can't get out of their cage. If they start running, they get so scared, they faint. How many of us are trapped in our circumstances? We're trapped in our minds, that our minds are fainting. We can't even get out and go and eat and go and enjoy life because we are trapped by fear. And so we're going to watch poor little Boo and Lawson this morning. Thank you, Courtney.
This is Boo, my fainting goat. And this is Willie, my pygmy goat. As you can see, Willie is eating. Boo will not step down off the gazebo because he will faint. As you can see by the poo in the gazebo, he's been up here all day. So let's get Boo out. Come on, buddy. Scoot. And there he goes. Okay, bud, shake it off. You can do it. Up you go. Good job. And now he can go eat. You're welcome.
Are you a dove or are you a goat? We are not going to faint in our minds. It's such a lovely bit. If I'm having a bad day, I just got a Boo. But it's so real. We can laugh at it, but you know what? I know people that are so trapped with fear. They are stuck. They're not eating. They are crippled. The Bible talks about being crippled with fear. We have a choice today to engage in the Prince of Peace. We have a choice to say, you know what, I've been looking left, I've been looking right. I've been watching social media. I'm completely overwhelmed this morning. But today I choose to strip off these weights, to let go of the sin that is entangling me. And I choose to fix my mind on Him, that I'm not going to faint in my mind, but I'm going to trust in Him. Perfect peace. Are you a goat or are you a dove? Won't you stand with me, precious church? Thank you, Father. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. I bring every person here that is represented today. Thank you that you see them. Thank you that you love them. Father, thank you for your peace right now. Maybe this morning you've come here and you are carrying perfection, performance, guilt, shame, sin. Won't you just take it off? Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are distracted with many things. Won't you lay them at the feet of Jesus? Jesus, you see us this morning. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you that we can come as we are, even when we've made mistakes. Father, thank you that you know our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that in you we have peace. Thank you that we can come. And this morning, Lord, we wanna say sorry if we've slipped up. I wanna say sorry if I said a bad word this morning that shouldn't have been said. Father, thank you that you love us. And so, Lord, I pray for families, for marriages. Maybe finances have been your storm. Maybe conflict has been your storm. Maybe the future is your storm. You're so distracted. You're so afraid that you're fainting in your mind. You're crippled with fear. And I speak peace in Jesus' name. Father God, I come against sickness that has been brought about by stress and worry and fear. I come against it in Jesus' name, and I speak healing into bodies, into minds, into anxiety, into depression. I speak peace, perfect peace. Father, thank you right now. Your peace rests on our friends, on our family, on our children. May they choose to fix their eyes on you, to be a dove with dove's eyes, to choose you as their one true love. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can be real. Put down your weights. Guard your minds. Renew them. Thank you, Jesus. Just while every head is bowed, maybe you're watching online. Maybe you don't know, my Jesus. You've been searching for peace and you haven't found it. Today I want to give you that opportunity. If that's you this morning, won't you just be brave and raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. Just say, Dee, I choose Jesus this morning. Thank you. Just raise your hand. Say, I'm choosing to fix my eyes on Him to make Him Lord of my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Church, can we just stand in agreement with these precious people as we pray together? Can we say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for paying the price for my guilt and shame. Today, I make you Lord of my life. I fix my eyes on you. I drop my weights, I strip off my sin, and I follow you. I am your child, and you are mine. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the salvations this morning, that you are rejoicing. And Lord, as a church, as a family, we rejoice with them that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for the peace we have received because of you, Jesus. We choose to be doves this morning. We choose to fix our eyes on you, to stand firm in who we are and not be distracted by the end times. Thank you for what you're calling us to. We love you, we honor you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray this. Everybody said, amen. Look at your friend next to you, say, are you a dove or are you a goat? Church, we have a ministry team that's up front. If you need some more ministry, we would love to pray for you. Otherwise, grab a nice cup of coffee, enjoy your afternoon nap, and always remember you are highly favored and deeply loved.